Father, thank you that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that with your word, Lord, you minister to us. You give us direction. You give us the understanding. You give us, Lord, the information you need to be able to walk in ways that are pleasing to you, Lord, and that we may be able to, Lord, do things that you want us to do, Lord. We praise you and thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you where we know that we can trust in you, no matter what's going on around us, because, Lord, you are in control. And we give you praise and honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Something funny. But, okay. So, you know, we've been talking about how situations, difficulties, problems that come up, okay, no matter what they are, God is in control and he's going to help us if we allow him to direct us, if we listening, if you are applying his word to in our situation, okay? So there are many teachings today that do not acknowledge that, but this is what the Bible clearly shows. And when we understand that, you know, we can handle the situation that we are in a much better way. And that being able to provide for our needs. Okay. Last week, you know, I'm generally, you know, what I do is I deal with the topic and I expand and touch all the different aspects of it, because one cannot take a piece of the scriptures or some verses that we are comfortable with and just ignore all the others that sometimes we are not too comfortable with them, because either we don't understand them or because we have other ideas of our own. Okay. And God instead, you know, is very consistent in his message to us, in his word, in the way he speaks to us, and the way he gives us direction so that we know his will and we can experience his will. Okay. So that's one of the things I've been doing, is, you know, is showing how he actually, you know, communicate to us. Okay. And how he actually, you know, warn us about the fact that he wants us to walk in his way, and if we, you know, there are consequences for the way we walk. There are positive or negative consequences, okay? And in his wisdom, he established those principles, okay? And, but, you know, he does it in such a way that his way is completely righteous, is completely right. And he knows what he's doing, and he has all the details for everybody and everything. So that his truth and his principles are going to be implemented in the world. Okay? When we try to judge things just on the physical level, we don't have all the information that we need, because that's only a part of reality, a part of the truth. And actually, it's not the most important part from God's point of view. What he cares more is the spiritual part. What he cares more is about our soul, our situation, you know, our relationship with him. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, we can see that reflected in all the, you know, all over the Bible, all over the scriptures, all over his message to us, okay? And it started right at the very beginning when, you know, he, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 2, verse 16, he was commanding them, saying, you know, of every tree of the garden you shall freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day you eat, you shall surely die. Okay. And what he was referring there was not really just only physical death. That's really not dying anyway. He was talking about the fact that his life is not going to be in us anymore. And so from that point of view, you know, that is really where the life comes. His life. Okay. So, and when, you know, the way that the problem is, and the way the temptation comes, and we, you know, made the difference and explained the difference between temptation and testing, okay? This was an announcement that, if you want, was a testing that they were received, but the way we're responding to that was determining if it was a temptation or a testing. Because it's the way we respond that makes all the difference. And their response was became evident when, you know, the serpent said to the woman, to Eve, you know, you will not surely die. For God knows in the day what you eat, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The word good there, knowing, is yada, which actually doesn't mean just to know mentally, it's actually to experience, to have a physical experience of that. And God actually does not have a physical experience of evil, because there is nothing evil in him. Evil is a creation of the creatures, not of God. I could take, you know, I'm not going to go into the theology of that. We covered that in the Thursday night meeting, in which we are going through, you know, all the series had to do about God, the theology about the doctrine of God, and understanding the way God functions, the way God operates, the way God, you know, relate to us. And this is, you know, I started that series, and I feel this is a very important series, because much of what's thought about God today is actually inaccurate. Okay? And one of the things that lots of people go around saying is the devil is in control. That's complete nonsense. If this is in control, then God is not God. By definition, he's in control. By his nature, he is in control. Okay? And he regulate things all according to his righteous judgment. If we believe the other thing, that shows that we don't understand the way, you know, the fact that God is righteous and just. Because we are influenced by things that we don't know. And we try to judge him. And this is the bigger mistake that people can do. Okay? So, you know, our they reacted, and now, you know, Eve and then Adam, they reacted too. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, you know, what did they saw that it was pleasant to the eyes and it was desirable to make one wise, she took it of it, a fruit, and ate, and so also gave to her husband, and her husband ate as well. So this is really, she was deceived. She believed a lie. And so really what has happened there is that she trusted the reason, her own reasoning, her own feelings, her own senses, instead of trusting what the God has said. God doesn't lie. The devil lies all the time. And so she believed that. And so she ended up doing what? Rebelling against God. Okay, and the things they told her to do. And this is really what happened afterwards, that tendency to do things according to the way, depending on our senses, depending on our reasoning, and depending on our way of judging things, you know, it became a factor that is just completely communicated to the whole human race. And we had to learn to overcome that. That's a way that gives us the breakthrough to be able to connect with God properly. And this is what God wants to do. God wants us to understand and to connect with him so that he can really help us. Proverbs 3:5-10 said it very clearly, trusting the Lord with all your heart and leaning not on your own understanding, your own reasoning, your own feelings, your own things. When we do that, we acknowledge Him and He will direct our path and provide for us in all the different areas. But we have to believe that more than the normal tendency we have within ourselves to want to judge things according to our own reasoning. Because if we had to understand, we should understand very clearly actually that, the fact that we don't understand everything. And so we, you know, and He does. He knows everything. He knows what everything, everybody think, what everybody not just do, but just think. Or He knows every detail of every human being, of everyone present, past, and future. To us, something like that is inconceivable because we are a limited being. He says, unlimited being. When we understand that, we understand that He's much more reliable than anything else that we can be the source for stability and reliability. Okay. So, now, this is why He warned them at the beginning. And throughout the whole scriptures, you know, He does that continuously over and over again. And I'm not going to take all the thing because it's impossible. Practically everywhere in the scripture does that. But I want to take a couple of scriptures in which He deals with some of the issues in which we find more difficult to resolve or to listen to Him. Okay? First of all, you know, in different situations in which we are influenced by our lusts, our lust for the desire for pleasure, our conflicts, okay, conflicting ideas or conflict with others or wanting to fight for something or, you know, the desire, worldly desire that we have. Okay, this is given in James chapter 4, verse 1 and following. And it specifically addresses this kind of situation in which we are actually going to be tempted. Okay, in which we are going to find difficult to actually listen to God because of the feelings and the emotions and the ideas and the thinking and the reasoning that we have. Okay, because of that, okay, actually here is explaining it very clearly and show us what that we cannot depend on us. Okay, what we have to overcome that tendency. So it says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Okay, because there is, when there is something like that, you know, we are committed to something, we want to get it. Okay. Do not they come from the desire for pleasure, the war in our members? So still, you know, that's our senses, our members have the influencing factor. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask amiss. That means, you know, for the wrong reason, for the wrong purpose, okay, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. You know, God does not care about spoiling you so that you can have your lust satisfied. He cares about you having the right attitude and the right approach, the right desire within yourself, that putting Him in the right place. I mean, first commandment, the critical commandment, the one that applies all the time is to love God more than anything else. When you do that, then you are in the position to actually be able to listen and get the direction and get the help and get the ministry that you need to overcome the situation you are in if it's a difficult situation. He will guide you through. That's what it says in Proverbs chapter 3 that I said, you know, verse 5-10. This is one of the Old Testament scripture, but it applies to everywhere, and there is nothing changed between Old Testament and New Testament. God does not change. And this is what enables us to have stability, because we know what to expect from him. If you don't, you have somebody that is changing according to the wind every day, like some people do, you don't know how to deal with them. You don't know what is going to do next. You know, when parents are like that with their children are a mess because they don't know what to expect. They cannot be stabilized. Praise the Lord. Okay. So here he's saying, you know, that we had to ask God with the for the right reason. And then goes on, expanding on the concept. Says, adulterers and adulteresses, you know, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be friend with the world make himself enemy to God. And this is really important to understand, you know, that God has created order in the universe, in the world. And that order, you know, is according to his rule, because he understands all the information that you need to have. And when we understand that and align ourselves with that, then we are going to be able to do what? To hear his direction. Otherwise, we are not even going to be able to hear anything from him. We can see that, you know. So last Thursday, actually, on the Thursday Bible study, you know, I made a summary or condensed the book of Job. Okay. That's a great book, but nobody teaches about it. Why? I mean, that's God speaking to us. It's the first book practically on the Bible. And it's amazing that he's dealing with one of the most difficult things that the people always get stuck with. And it does it in a complete way, so that if we understand, and that's the problem, people don't even understand, don't believe the right thing, don't understand God the way he works. Okay, but if you understand what the book of Job said, you are going to have a much easier way to have a good life and to be doing well. You know, the scripture that often is used by the prosperity message is, you know, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You know, and this is John 3, verse 2. The point is, the emphasis there is on the first part that they give, instead of really looking at what actually the verses say. What the verses say is everything depends on your soul, according to your soul. So if your soul is in the right place, all the other things are going to be in the right place too. They are going to be right. But if your soul is not right, you're going to be messed up. Because your principles, because your values do not line up with the values of God, and so you are going to end up doing, you're breaking always all God's principles according to which he created everything. And those principles cannot be broken, because automatically produce an adjustment, if you want. So, and God warns us about it, not to be pushy or, you know, for helping us, so that we are not stupid enough because of ignorance to choose the wrong thing and get ourselves in trouble. This is really, you know, what happened, because we don't see everything, we don't understand everything. He does, and he has created things in such a way that everything is righteous, everything is just. The righteousness and justice of God are the critical understanding that we need to have, because he does everything for the best possible outcome that he can ever have, anybody. But if we don't understand him, we end up doing what Eve did. judging by our senses, by what we see, by what our lusts are. You know, it looks like good to eat, but, you know, it doesn't matter if after it make you sick in the stomach. That's what people do all the time. They overeat, they eat the wrong stuff, and then they feel sick, and they get sick. And they have just broken one of the principles of God. That they eat the stuff that they shouldn't have been eating. It doesn't always need to be very religious type of things that he's dealing with. God controls everything. Praise the Lord. So God loves, protects, and bless those who love him. That means love him means that they have the same value set that he has. If we have a different value set, then you're going to make choices. They are going to break all these rules and things that he put in place so that things will be working fine. And then you complain because it doesn't work. That's not the way to have, you know, be smart. Okay? So, in this world, you know, both good and evil people have to go through problems and end up suffering. That's the normal thing. That's part of being in this world. We have to understand that. But, you know, in all his suffering, and I'm not going to go into the detail because this is a big book, the Job, and it's difficult to summarize, but I talked about 1 hour last Thursday, and I just point out just the critical element for us to understand. Didn't say anything about, you know, couldn't go through the whole thing. But the idea that was there, okay, that one of the things that Job had, that he trusted God. He trusted God even in his situation that was terrible. Okay, everything went wrong. But God was protecting him. But the people in the world, like, for example, Job's wife, she looked at things in the physical, and what do you say? She reacted according to the fleshes. Her flesh then said, you know, just, you know, curse God and die. Now, that's not what he did. But that's the way of thinking according to the world. Instead of really saying, you know, Job said instead the opposite. You know, he may slay me. And I would still trust him. Well, that's the way you get the result that he got. He was completely, at the end of the whole situation, he was completely victorious. He was delivered of the situation that he was in before. Now, I'm not going to go into all that, and but you cannot judge situation just in the physical. And this is one of the lessons that we can get from the book of Job. Don't judge situation just looking at the physical thing that had to do with you or other people. The friend of Job that were criticizing him with lots of religious nonsense, you know, they got with, you know, they got God upset with them. And if God would, if Job wouldn't have prayed for them, they would have been in trouble. Because they weren't saying the truth. They were, you know, understanding, and they were passing judgment both on Job and without knowing what they were talking about. Okay. So the idea is one of the things that we can learn, don't look at physical things to judge situations. It's interesting that at the end of the book, Job didn't know why he went through the situation he went through. But he was completely delivered. He was twice, you know, was blessed twice as much as he was before. Everything that he had lost, again, more. And he had a long life. And he had a whole family again. And he had all the the things that he required, you know, provided to him again. Why? Because he trusted God instead of trusting his feeling and his situation. He loved God even if, you know, things didn't go the right way. And in reality, God had protected him so that he could survive, so that he could actually, you know, end up being blessed. Now, his interesting thing is that when at the end of the story, you know, God didn't even tell him why he went through all that we went through. If you read the book, you may get a bit of an idea, actually. Okay. But doesn't matter to try to justify. The fact is, one of the things that comes true is something that is given clearly in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. It says, therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And that's one of the characteristics of God. Okay, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Evidently, Job was able to stand it. And this is why he was able to get blessed. Because he wasn't pushed around by the appearances of the problems. Okay. And will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able to, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So the idea is this, that, and that was completely reflected in the book of Job. You know, God said, you can do everything with him, but don't, can't touch his life. Okay. Now, the only reason why he could do everything with them that he wanted is because there was a basis there, a hook for the enemy to work on that. Otherwise, they wouldn't even have been that, allowed that. We have to understand that. And you understand that God is in control, cares for each person that loves him. This is something that is continuously repeated in the scripture. You know, if you love God, God is going to look after you. You have to love him more than the other things because he is a jealous God. And the reason why he's a jealous God is not just because, you know, that is jealousy. You know, it's not like people jealousy. Okay. His jealousy is based on the fact that he loves us. And he doesn't want us to suffer because we go after other God. Because we have idolatry. Okay. So there it is. So, so God is always continuing to warn us. Be careful. You know, the way you look at things, be careful. Listen to me. That's the thing that all the time God speaks. You know, a lot of people say, well, God doesn't speak to me anymore. Well, you got the problem. If God doesn't speak to you, it's because you got the problem. God wants to speak to you, and he speaks to everybody all the time. But we have to learn to trust him to be able to hear him. And we have to learn. See, trust is not something that you have to give to somebody because what they tell you. It's because of the experience you had with them. If you trust somebody that you don't know, you're stupid. Do I have to say that again? I mean, if you don't know the person, why you trust them? You have to trust somebody that gives you the reason to trust them. And God has a million reasons to trust him because the whole scripture talks about his faithfulness. The whole scripture talks about his love. But you have to believe what the scripture says, not what the devil says. Because if you believe what the devil says, then he's going to do, you're going to do exactly the same thing as Eve did, as everybody does when they end up sinning. Essentially what they do is they do what God says, don't do it. Because they trust more the way they feel, the way what things look like, and the way, you know, the enemy suggests them ideas. That's the way to get tricked. That's the way to be deceived. That's the way to really miss the boat. Okay? So, and with the warning of God, always there was the associated the fact of, you do what I'm speaking to you, what I'm telling you to do, and you'll be blessed. You do something else, contrary to what I tell you, and then you are going to get messed up and you're going to suffer. Okay? For example, the Lord passed the law to Moses, the law is nothing else than, you know, a summary or a description of God's principle that he wants you to operate by. Okay? Exodus chapter 34, verse 7 says, keeping mercy, you know, the way God is, okay? The Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. We have to believe that, because if you don't believe that, the enemy is going to tell you that's not the case. Okay? It says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. See, that happens when he's forgiving iniquity, is when we submit to him, when we listen to him, he's going to help us to resolve the situation. Okay? There are some, forgiveness have some requirement associated with it. It's not automatic. Okay? By no means clearing, and that, you know, reinforced after, by no means clearing the guilty. Okay? So, you know, that doesn't mean that it doesn't never increase, because just finish just saying right now in the same verse that he's forgiving. So the fact is, the guilt is somebody that does not line up with him, that is not submitting to him, that is not responding to the requirement that God has for forgiveness. Okay? So, visiting the iniquity of the father and the children, and the children's children for the third and fourth generation. And this was completely misinterpreted by the Old Testament people. And even before, even today, there are lots of Christians, lots of believers, they still believe in that lie. Because they didn't understand that scriptures. And God made sure that we understood it. The typical example, Jesus pointed that out very clearly in John chapter 9, verse 1, when he was walking there. You know, it says, now Jesus passed by and he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciple asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see, they were believing wrongly that scripture. And Jesus corrected them right there, okay? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God may be revealed in him. I must work the work of him who sent me, while at this day the night is coming when no one can work. Actually, even the scripture, the way it's put there, is actually there is this little mistake. See? Says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. It's comma. No, there shouldn't be comma. There should be a period. You know, in the Greek, there is no, you know, sign, you know, comma, anything of that type. There is no any of those symbols that we used. So there, you know, there, if you put period there, then it makes much more sense. And, you know, says, but that the work of God should be revealed in him, continuing the sentence, I must do the work that in him who sent me while it is day. That's the idea. Jesus came to do the work that he was sent to. He was not, and that it wasn't a God put sickness or blindness in the person because he had to do a miracle on that day. It was that he wanted to do a miracle because he wanted to do a miracle and nothing to do with it. Okay. So, you see, sometimes even the way in English is put is not very clear. It seems like, you know, the guy was blind because he could make a miracle then. That's not the case at all. Now, let me continue. Now, an important thing to understand, okay, is... stick together. All right. How was then implemented this? You see, this business about the children and the parents, and this, I want to correct that once for all. I said it before, but I'm going to say it again because this is an error that lots of people still believe in. That curses are passed on from parents to children. God himself corrected that idea. Okay? Actually, more than once. Okay? But here in Jeremiah chapter 18, very clearly explained that. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as a potter? I understand there are two principles here that I want to, two scriptures that I want to bring to you. Okay? Says the Lord, look at the clay in the potter's hand. So are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now it's interesting to use the name here, but I'm not going to get into that. Okay? The instant I speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it, to put it down, or to destroy it. So this is when pass a judgment on somebody. Okay. The nation, okay? Okay. Yeah. If the nation against whom I have spoken turn from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. An instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning kingdom, the build on to plant it, that he does evil in my sight, so that he does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said I will benefit it. So, you know, in both cases, if he repents, okay, I will relent the disaster. I will relent the judgment I passed on him. But if he doesn't, then I will keep it. Just as simple as that. Therefore, speak to men of Judah, say, you know, behold, I'm fashioning disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from the evil way, your way, and do good. So the idea is to do, you know, when we repent, when we turn around, when we recognize the wrong we had done, then God is not longer punishing us for what we did, because in his grace, not because we deserve it. Just because we repent doesn't mean that we deserve to be forgiven. It's that he chose to forgive us because he loves us and he wants to go through that. Want us to be freed from the curse, free from the punishment. And the only way that he requires of us, instead of making amends, is to repent and change. And that's not justice. That's just grace. He gives us something that we don't deserve because he loves us and he wants to help us. Are you following me? So it's his goodness manifested there. Okay? But he expects us to connect with him, listen to him, change the things that we are doing. Okay? So now go to another chapter 18 in Ezekiel, deal with the generational curses completely. Okay, so you saw there the repentance is determining our forgiveness. The changing of our ideas is determining our forgiveness. And now, you know, what do you mean? Here says Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 2. Says, what do you mean when you say, when you use these proverbs concerning the land of Israel, saying, the father have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? So that means, you know, they are paying for, essentially, they are paying for the sins of the parents. Okay? And you say, you know, as I live, says the Lord, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. See, he doesn't even call the law. It says this proverb, you know, something that you go around saying, thinking that is a wise saying, when instead is not. Okay? Let me continue. Okay. As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the son of the son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. So that is just as simple as it is. Only the soul that sins. God is just. So he's not going to punish somebody for what the other ones did. The problem is, the reason why it's Exodus 34 was saying that the children and the children's children are going to be affected is because the children are raised by the parents. So they're going to get the same ideas that the parents have many, many times. They are influenced. This is called transference of spirit. And so they are going to be assimilated in that way of thinking, and that they are going to do the things that the parents tell them to do that are not pleasing God. And from that point of view, then, you know, there is a bit of truth, but it's not the way it was understood and intended. Only, and this is not the only place in the scripture that talks about that, in many other places. In fact, we see sometimes, you know, people that have a serious problem, say, for example, alcoholic or, you know, something like that, that children of somebody that's alcoholic, sometimes they hate drinking, because they see that the problem that produces in their family and their life. So they're not going to do it. It's not necessary. Some other ones that want to follow the direction of the parents end up becoming alcoholic too. Are you following me? So that is a choice that they make according to which God judges them. It's not with the fact that because they were children of somebody that was had a certain problem. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. See, so every man, there is a, you know, one of the characteristics, though, and this is, not much time yet. We passed the time already. Too bad. Let me just say something that is important to close with. Okay. The natural tendency that we have because of the way we are raised, because of the way we think the way we are trained, you know, we depend on our flesh. We learn to live, you know, according to the training that we get by dealing with physical things. So physical things for us are very important from the point of view that there are things, that's the things that are in front of your attention, that's the things that influence you more than anything else. And that's not the best way to be able to do the things that are right. Because what counts is the spiritual things that are the one determining the physical things. And because of that, you know, we end up often, you know, being influenced by the physical more than what we should be influenced. And we interpret and judge things wrongly because the flesh, because of the physical things, are affecting us more than the spiritual things. spiritual things sometimes are very vague, kind of difficult to put the finger on. And we had to learn to become aware of spiritual things, of spiritual reality. This is where God is. God is a spirit. Doesn't have a body like us. And what he cares about is our spiritual side, more than the physical side. You know, if your physical side, for example, if you live or die, you know, is not as important if you, you know, going to spend the eternity with God or not. Because that's really what he cares about. And that's what you will care about too. Because you have to live for eternity in the wrong place because you are not connecting with God and you were influenced more by your flesh than on the spirit. So we had to learn to actually learn about the spiritual reality and connect with that spiritual reality. How are you going to do that? There is no other way for us to learn about spiritual things than the Word. The Word of God and God speaking to us. That's how we are going to learn, how we are going to grow, the way we are going to understand what is important and what is not important. That's the way we are going to make the right judgment, because then our values are going to be determined by spiritual values more than the physical value. See, the world is just upside down with respect to the spiritual reality than God is. The world cares more about physical things, about the way you react about things, when instead those things are just temporary. You know, just maximum, 100, even if you live for a long time, it's just 100 years. Big deal. When you cannot even put the number of zero behind the number of years there to determine what's going to be like. That is going to be ever and ever and ever. So we had to understand that unless we at least get some training, some understanding, some way to have a proper judgment to consider enough the spiritual side of it, that we are not going to be able to make the right decisions. That's what Eve did. Okay, she didn't understand that. Now you can say, well, you know, that was at the beginning. Yeah, but God was talking with them. And see, God talks with you and me. And we had to learn to listen, to have that connection with him. See, this is why it's not religion that counts. It's our relationship with him. And our relationship with him means that we hear what he's saying to us because he speaks to us exactly the same way as he was doing it with Adam and Eve. They didn't listen, and we often don't listen, and we had to learn to listen. Okay. I had to stop here. Too bad, because I hardly touched the thing. Yeah. But, you know, one of the things we had to learn, that our flesh, because we is the predominant part on us, often operating in us, okay? We do care more about physical things than spiritual things. And physical things means, you know, that often apply to our spiritual life. We care more about religious activities than actually listening to God and obeying. And that's not where God's way of thinking and working. He couldn't care less. If you are not connected with him, and I'm going to, you know, leave it for next week. Just this is an intro. If you are not connected with him, he couldn't care less about all your religious activities. They are a waste of time. But the care is here, listen and obey. And if you don't listen, you cannot obey him, because you don't know where to start. There are some very powerful scripture about this that shows how easily we are confused and distorting that reality so that we lose that contact, that relationship with him. Okay. And we're going to see them. We're going to see next week. Okay, just give some thought maybe about that. But the idea is that, God, prefer obedience to sacrifice. That one makes the difference. That one produces results. That is what enables us to have victory in our life and to overcome. It's not all the works that we do. We are not saved by works. It's not saved by the good work that we did. Now, when we are saved, we are going to do good things. But that doesn't save us. That's the result of having a relationship with him. Praise the Lord. If we don't understand that, we end up wasting our lots of time trying to please God, but that's not Christianity. The heathen do exactly the same with their God and don't get anywhere. Praise the Lord. So let's close in prayer for today, and we're going to expand on that next week. Because the example, and there are plenty in the scripture about that, showing us how we can actually be successful and be blessed in our life as we understand the way God works, and we keep our relationship with him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your knowledge of what we need and your desire to minister to us, to provide for all our needs, because you created us and you know what we need. So we come to you today to ask you to guide us, to speak to us, to open our mind and our heart to your truth. Because when we receive your truth, we are set free. And we are able to please you. But we are also pleasing ourselves. Thank you for your love, for your compassion, for your mercy, and your grace, by which we can come to you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.